Appreciate that good singing and the theme of the battle that we face. And we face the battle on a lot of different fronts. We're going to talk about one of those battles this morning, but want to start by just saying welcome to all that are here. We are grateful for the visitors that we have with us. We hope that you will open your Bibles and your minds and study along with us the Word of God so we might come to a better understanding of His will. Do you remember going back to school? Those days of summer are waning, and well, actually, back when I was going to school, it was September that we started back to school. Now it seems like it's being moved further and further up in the time schedule. But I can remember the first days of kindergarten, not wanting my mom to leave, being insecure of the place that I was. I remember going to Havlicek Elementary School across the street in Berwyn, Illinois, and then going to Lincoln Junior High, called middle school now apparently, but Lincoln High, Junior High, and that's the way our family looked back in junior high days, and then Morton West High School, the Fighting Falcons. I can remember going to that school and hearing stories. It was a school that had about 4,400 students in it. I remember about the freshmen getting beaten up in the bathrooms, being afraid to death whenever I walked past the bathroom. But and then on to Florida College, going first time I saw the campus was the first time I went, drove down there, and going into the area where there were all of these young people and thinking, is everybody else as scared as I am right now? College turned out pretty good. Was able to find a beautiful young lady that I was able to spend 35 years now with. But we face those times. There's in a week, next week or two, a lot of our young people are going to be going to school. Some are going to be going off to college. We have six here that graduated high school this last year. Some are going to be coming to college here in this area. Got some that are going off to homeschool, and some who are going to be teaching, and just a lot of different facets of the school year. It's a real challenge when we face this time of year, and it's good for us to remember the admonition of Solomon when he said, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth." What are some keys that are necessary for young people as they go and face the challenges, unfortunately sometimes the battles, in their school year? What are some keys that they need to remember? I send out a kind of an email to a few of the young people here, recent graduates of high school, some I guess graduated from college, and ask for some advice. What key, I ask two questions here, what one piece of advice would you give to the new freshman about remaining faithful to God in college? And the second question was, what was the biggest danger you faced to your faith? We have had a good group of young people here who have grown up and have been strong in their faith and matured a great deal. You might recall about 5 years ago, I sent out a similar survey to some of the young people, not as young now, people at that time, and got some great responses back, and all of those are still faithful to God. And it, no surprise that I got some great responses back this time as well. And I'd like to share some of those with you as they reflect the principles that really God has given to us in His Word. The first area of comment had to do with, you need to remember to continue to develop your relationship with God. One person who wrote warned against self-reliance when they said, when you're doing well in school or things are going well, it's easy to depend upon yourself. You think that you are in control, and then you get into a situation that tests your morals or faith. If you have put all your trust in yourself rather than the Lord, you probably will not be able to overcome these temptations. The only way we can overcome is by putting all our faith in the Lord and letting Him lead us through His Word. Or as another one said, this may sound like weird advice, but school is not the most important thing. I think college freshmen are in a habit of thinking so hard about grades, scholarships, homework, study groups, exams, etc., that's easy not to have time for Bible study or going to services. Time management is important so that we can make sure that we have time for this. Academics are important, but you don't want to end up with a degree in a few years if the cost is growing further from the Lord. Putting an emphasis on continuing to develop your relationship with God is extremely important, and it always has been. If you would, let's go back to the Old Testament, to the book of First Chronicles chapter 28. First Chronicles 28 is a time that Solomon is going through a transition in his life. David has been king. He's done very well as king. And now Solomon is chosen to be the replacement king. And he has a lot of learning to do. It's going to be a difficult transition for him to take the place of his father, who was a very popular king and one who was able to do a great deal of good for the children of Israel. First Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. As Solomon took on this responsibility of being king, he had a lot of things that he needed to study. He needed to understand politics. He needed to understand other nations around him and how they interacted with Israel. He needed to understand economics. He needed to understand a lot about dealing with his people. But David's number one priority for Solomon was, you need to know the Lord. Yes, you need to learn all of this other stuff too, economics and politics and all of this, but you need to keep your priority in your relationship with God. That's what's going to sustain you, not only in this life, but this is going to sustain you for all eternity. How'd Solomon do with that? Well, we know that Solomon, when he was young, made some very good choices, but he also made some very, very poor choices. And because of those poor choices, when those came to fruition, he turned away from the Lord. And if he did not repent at the end of his life, which we really don't have any particular record that he did, he would have lost it for eternity. So it's extremely important for young people with all of the pressures and all of the things to learn, it's important for them to continue to develop their relationship with God, because school, college in particular, but school in general, is a great divider. It divides between those who are leaving the security of home, who have to make decisions, who are making a decision whether they are going to put a priority on the Lord or whether or not they are going to forsake that and grow weaker and weaker in their spiritual life. Jesus says in the book of Matthew in chapter 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, once again to emphasize that this principle of putting God first is not something new. It's something that each generation has to learn to do for themselves. Jesus says in chapter 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 24 says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." We're all going to go through turmoil in life. We're all going to have to make choices in life. Putting Jesus as number one in our life is going to build a rock. It's going to build a foundation so that no matter what happens to us in life, good or bad, we have something that we can always count on, that we can always go back to, that we can always find stability with. Putting God first, developing our relationship with God is something that's very important. But for those who are going off to school, it's a choice that you have to make yourself. Your parents can't make that for you. Others can't make that for you. You must make it for yourself. Well, what does that mean practically to continue to develop the relationship with God? It means that you need to test your faith because your faith is going to be tested. One young person wrote, "Dig in your heels. You are about to step into the world and learn just how many beliefs and religions there are out there. In a world with its many truths, how can the one you are in right now be the truth? Before you go to college, I recommend that you sit down and study history, science as it really is, and the Bible, and prove to yourself what you believe is right. You have nothing to fear. You can find the truth. And if you know how to find the truth, you will not lose it." Here in the book of, in the same sermon that Jesus presents here in chapter 7, Jesus makes us a promise in verse 7 and 8. He says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." One of the young people talked about the fact that when they got into the college years, that some of their friends did not continue in the Lord, did not continue in the faith, and they left. And it left them feeling very insecure and realizing that they really didn't have that strong of a faith themselves. They really did not have a firm foundation. They really were not able to answer some of the arguments that were being made by their friends who were forsaking the faith. So they had to dig in their heels. They had to start studying. They had to develop their own personal knowledge of the Word of God. Jesus says, if you ask, if you seek, if you knock, if you search for the truth, you will find it. But each of us has to do that for ourselves. Each of us has to make our faith our own. We can't simply rely upon the faith of mom and dad, the knowledge of mom and dad. Number one, it could be wrong. And number two, it must become our own. Even when we are pressured by deadlines and by papers and by tests, we must make time to continue to develop our relationship with God by testing our own beliefs, by continuing to develop our own understanding of the Word of God, so that when those tests come, when those trials come, and there will be trials, we have a foundation that is built upon Jesus Christ, this rock. We must choose to continue to develop that relationship. Especially if you're going off to college somewhere, you need to choose your church wisely. That is, you need to find a faithful group of Christians, and you need to become a part of that group. You need to place membership with that group. You need to get involved with that group in their Bible studies, in their Bible classes, in the interaction with people. Having a good support system is vital for any of us to continue to live faithful unto God, but particularly individuals who are facing this very, very crucial time when they leave the home and having to make decisions for themselves. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, not just to young people, to all of us, this would include young people as well. Chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." We need encouragement. We need exhortation. And not only do we need it ourselves, but all others need it, and so we need to contribute to that. We need to be a part of that. We need to be part of that provoking, that stirring up one another unto love and good works. We cannot put our spiritual life on hold to go to college. It is a huge mistake, if not spiritual suicide, to choose what college we're going to go to because of academics, and leave in secondary place making sure there's a good, strong, faithful group of Christians that we can meet with. No, number one needs to be making sure there's a good, strong, faithful group that we can be a part of, and we become a part of that. And then we find a school that we can do well in our academics as well. Assembling with the saints, being part of the Lord's church, is extremely important for you to continue to develop your relationship with your God. And it was often mentioned to choose your friends wisely. One individual said, "The most important thing would be to surround yourself with good, moral Christian people. You are going to have to interact with others, but make your good, close friends people of like mind." Now, you've heard this verse a lot. Well, let's read this verse again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. The Apostle Paul makes an observation about life that was true in the first century and is true in the 21st century when he says, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Always has, always will." You've heard this. You've got to understand this for yourself. You've got to come to realize this yourself and surround yourself with good friends so that it will promote the proper type of morals. Well, there was another main area that the ones who answered these questions dealt with, and that was, be careful of the devil. Yes, on the positive side, continue to develop your relationship with God, but on the negative side, watch out for the devil. As one individual said, that before he went off to college, he wished that he knew just how much evil is in the world. He said, "Personally, I was blown away at how bad the world is, and I was very unprepared for it." Another one said, "Go into college knowing your faith will be tested many times. There will be times when it is so easy to cheat or lie, to be drawn into sin by an attractive classmate, or even just to be so busy that God gets the leftovers. When you go in knowing your potential weaknesses, Satan cannot catch you off guard easily." I mean, what happens on our modern-day college campuses? A lot of good things happen on college campuses. A lot of positive things happen on college campuses. But it is no secret that on college campuses, morally speaking, it is a cesspool. There are people that are involved with things that are immoral and that are against the teachings of the Word of God. Part of the problem is you've got young people who are getting away from the restraints of their parents and they're just allowed to go wild. They allow the desires of their flesh and the passions of their hearts to take the best of them, and they get involved with things that are going to impact them for the rest of their lives. But it's also true that they're cesspools of immorality because of the administration of many of our major universities, who believe in a postmodern ideal of, well, there really are no absolutes. Everybody has the ability, has the right, has the need to find themselves, no matter what that is. There's multiculturalism. There's humanism. There's evolution. We're just a bunch of monkeys that have, or we are actually evolved above slightly the monkeys. We're just a bunch of animals that are here on this earth. And so there really are no absolutes. There really are no morals. And if you have the kids who are letting their flesh go wild and you have the administration who are saying there are really no absolutes, well, we have the results on many college campuses. And we need to deal with the reality of that. I mean, a lot of our young people will say, "Well, that's no problem. I can handle it. It's really not that bad." Well, unfortunately, I'm afraid the innocence is going to be shattered when they have to really deal with how difficult it is to maintain your faith in God in the midst of that kind of context. Well, God gives us some clear instructions. For example, let's go to the book of Ephesians. We really, in a situation like that, have not only an obligation, but an opportunity to shine as lights. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, "Therefore, Be followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. The people here in Ephesus were not living in a paradise. We're not living in a utopia where everything was good and everything was honorable. These people were living in the midst of paganism. And yet they had a responsibility as Christians to continue to be followers of God, to be dear children of God, to give themselves, to offer themselves as a sacrifice unto God. And what that was going to do is give the paganism around them, the immorality around them, the light that they need. We have an opportunity when we are going into a situation of sin to shine as lights so that the light of Jesus Christ might be seen. That is something that's needed in our schools today. In contrast to that, following God and offering ourselves in love, he says in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Paul is very clear. Yes, we may live in a world that has shades of gray and shades of light and no common or no absolute truths. But God says there are absolute truths. There are things that if you get involved with, you are going to ruin your soul and ruin your eternity. And yes, it is possible to have forgiveness. But we don't purposely get involved with sin and then turn around after we get involved with that and say, oh, I'm sorry. Number one, it might very well seem ingenuous to God. And number two, there are such consequences to sins. There are so many things that people get involved with in those formative years where they're setting habits and patterns for the rest of their lives that they have difficulty shaking the rest of their lives. God says, stay away from that evil and shine as lights. In the book of 1 Peter, in the 4th chapter, Peter talks about our responsibility in a very difficult culture that they were in, that we are in. When he says verses 3 and 4, well, let's start in verse 1. When he says, therefore, since Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. This theme of standing up in the battle for the Lord is something that Peter was preaching here at this time too. Jesus was in a battle against the flesh and won that battle. God wants us to battle, to suffer by fighting against the flesh. Verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we have walked in licentiousness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them in this same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. People are going to think you're strange because you don't get involved with the same kinds of immorality that the people of the world. There are going to be people who get involved with drinking and drugs and dancing and immodest apparel and lying and cheating and using filthy language. No matter what campus you might find yourself on, there are going to be temptations. And in many of the worldly campuses you find yourself on, it's going to be the vast majority, and you're going to have to take a stand, and people are going to think you strange. But notice what Peter says in verse 5. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. We will have to answer to the Lord for the way that we have lived our lives. We need to stay away from error. Those who get involved with sexual immorality, there are STDs that are on the rampage. There is HIV. There are relationship problems. There are emotional problems. There is hell that we will have to deal with. It's not simply sowing your wild oats and then moving on. Those who get involved with drunkenness, those who get involved with drug abuse, there is addiction that many times lasts for the rest of an individual's life. Statistics say that if young people don't get involved with drinking and drugs, sexual immorality, before the age of 21, they probably never will. And the reason is because before you're 21, you're too naive to recognize the consequences of those mistakes. But after you're 21, you've seen what some of your friends have done. You've seen the negative consequences are there, and you stay away from them because you're no longer so naive. It's foolishness to get involved with the sinfulness of this world not just because it's wrong, but because it's going to ruin your life. God is trying to keep us from the evil one. The devil is active on campuses. He's active in our lives, trying to get us to destroy our lives. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, Paul also talks about the battle that we are in. It's not a physical battle. It's not a battle where we take up arms, where we take up physical arms. It's a battle where we take up spiritual arms. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll read verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The battle that we are in is the battle for the mind. It's the battle for the soul. The battle for the spirit. And it's a battle that is fought on many fronts. You go to a college campus and you are going to be faced with a battle in regards to the role of women, in regards to human origin, in regards to the existence of God, in regards to the absolute nature of morality. Many fronts are going to be fought, and they are not going to have pitchforks, they're not going to have Uzis, they're not going to have AK-47s, they're not going to have guns and bombs, but the battles and the winning of those battles are significant. Because we might get our arm blown off in battle, and we can continue to go on. But if we lose the battle for our mind, if we lose the battle for our soul, if we lose the battle for our spirit, we're going to lose for eternity. And those concepts, those philosophies, those ideas, those errors that are being taught in this world are such that can cause us to lose our lives for eternity, to lose our souls. We must, as individuals, fight those battles. We must defeat the devil so that we can win the war. Once again, we go back to the statement of Solomon when he said, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw nigh when you say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, it's an exciting time, is it not, to enter into a new transition, a new school year. It's a scary time to enter into those new responsibilities. It's a wonderful time to be able to grow and to mature. And it's a frustrating time, because you know there are going to be all those temptations and those dangers and those difficulties that are there. We must face those. But in facing those, the way that we're going to be victors in those is to continue to put our priority on our relationship with God. Continue to worship with His saints. Continue to be active in His service. Continuing to mature spiritually. Building our foundation. Building our lives on the rock of Jesus Christ, and not being naive, watching out for the devil. It's an exciting time. It's like getting in the car when you just get your license and your hands are now on the wheel, your foot's now on the pedal, and you're now getting to merge into the fast lane. It's exhilarating and scary at the same time. We can do a lot of good with our lives. We can be a light that shines in this world. We must do so by building it upon Jesus Christ. You might remember Ed Harrell telling his children two things before they would leave the house. Well, they might lose it too, I guess. I don't know. But leave the house. The first thing was, remember who you are. Number one, you're a Christian. You're a child of God. Remember who you are. And number two, remember where you came from. Here at Jordan Park, you're part of our family. You've come from us. We love you and we care for you. We're proud of the development that our young people are making. So many you can see in the before elementary school and into elementary school and in middle school and high school and college. There's so much good that is being done. Of a strength that our young people have. We're proud of you for developing that, for maturing in that way. And we would encourage you in everything that we can. Don't forget where you came from. You are a reflection of us. So continue to make us proud. If you're not a Christian, we'd encourage you to become a Christian by putting on Jesus Christ and building upon that rock. If you believe that He's the Son of God, if you'll repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized, you can be born again into the family of God. If you have not done that, we would encourage you to do so this morning. If you are a Christian and for some reason have fallen back into the world, we would encourage you as well to come back to the Lord this morning while we stand and sing.